love you. We give you glory. We thank you that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Therefore, we will not be ashamed about enjoying you, Lord. We thank you that we will not be ashamed to give your name praise, to worship you, and Lord, even to laugh and enjoy all good things set before us. We thank you, Lord, that the book of Ecclesiastes say that it's the work of a man to enjoy the labor of his hands. And we thank you that you give us all good things to enjoy. So we thank you that the kingdom is not meat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So therefore, we rejoice today. And again, we say we rejoice today, because today is a day that you made, and we're rejoicing and we're glad in this day. We thank you, Lord, that you today will speak to your people, encourage them with your word. I thank you that I choose to decrease so that you can increase and speak to your people. So we thank you and give you praise for the fruit that will come from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I forgot my notes today. So turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. We've been talking about the fact that God is a healer. And we've talked about it from a couple of different vantage points, but one of the things that we talked about most significantly is that healing is revealed in the character of who God is. That by nature, God's a creator. That God took notice of a certain speck in his creation and made a choice to shape our world around it. And when he made this world, he made it in 6 days, technically five. Because on the sixth day, he made us. So God spent 5 days forming, shaping everything in our universe. And then he created the last thing, which was man. Now, some scientists would tell you that, well, maybe there's no God because we evolved from whatever. I'm not going to argue whether we evolved or not. I know the Bible says this, that to God, 1,000 years is as a day, and a day like 1,000 years. So I don't care if a scientist does prove that man evolved. To God, it was a day. And on that day that God created man, he shaped man in his own image, in his own likeness, and he breathed the breath of life into man, and man became a living soul. The human being is the only thing that we see and understand that manipulates its environment with purpose. Not by instinct, because when you see ants, ants don't go to the beach and lay on their backs. They build very creative stuff, they do stuff, but ants don't go on vacation. Ants don't create things to recreate their time. An ant never created a radio. An ant don't need a radio. No other being in the world, nothing else on this planet, actually makes things to recreate, because they're all driven by an instinct to do stuff. Man's not driven by instinct. Man's driven by the creative mind placed in him by a divine creator. That's why man makes choices. That's why man sees things and makes new things out of what was old. I was walking down the street one day, and I saw this person that had on this very interesting outfit. And this outfit was full of repurposed things. There was a can sewed on. And there was different types of shirts sewed together. And there was all this creative stuff. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, maybe they created for function, but it looks like mostly for their own pleasure. So man is different than anything else. Man is totally different than anything else. Nothing else is created like man, because man is created in the image of God. I'm telling this to church people in church because y'all all believe that. Amen. But you need to be able to discuss this with other people. Amen. You need to not argue with people about whether there is evolution or not. I don't argue about that anymore. There was a season I would argue about that all day long. Now I don't argue. And the reason I don't argue, because it doesn't make a difference. Because man in and of who he is and what he is proves that he's not like anything else. And it's not because he's more evolved. It's because he's different. He's created different than every single thing. Well, man evolved from the ape. Well, guess what? Apes don't build televisions. Apes don't go to the beach even when they're free. They don't just go lay out somewhere. They might hang around and rest, but they don't go recreate. Because man is different. Man is totally different. And you may say, why is he harping on this? Because of what I'm going to tell you next. Man has the ability to make choices, not left or right, but God has given man the ability to make eternal types of choices. God has given man the ability to look out over generations and make choices based on where they want their generations to go. Man has been given the ability to make choices to or not to do a whole number of things in the world. And we're all here by choice. But as the song said, we're standing here all because God made the way. We make the choice, but he makes the way. See, we are given the ability to do great and mighty things, but there still remains a choice that has to be made. And that choice is always based on our human will. So the human will is part of the triune creation of man, in that man was formed from the dust of the ground. If you took your cells and you put them under a microscope, you'll find every single thing that's in the dirt was in your body. Everything, because that's what we were formed from. And if you get low on what's in the dirt, you'll have to go to the store and buy a vitamin to recharge what's in you. And when you read the back of your multivitamin, you're going to find out it's got calcium in the dirt, magnesium in the dirt, iron, you know that's in the dirt. You go through everything. Somebody says zinc. You go through all of them. They're all in the ground. Why? Because that's where man came from. So you were formed by God with a physical body that originated from the ground. But God didn't stop there. God took the man and he gave the man the ability to think and process through a soul. A soul that would connect his physical body to his mind. So now we have the body and we have the soul. And the soul is where then reside your mind, your imagination, and your will. They all reside in the soul of man. But that's not enough. Because then God put an operating system inside the man, which is the very essence of who we are, which is the soul of man. Excuse me, the spirit of man. And when the Bible says that God blew into Adam the breath of life and he became a living soul, is because the spirit, the pneuma, the spirit that God blew into man is what gave life to the soul. So the soul and the spirit are different. So in Psalm 103, David has become king of Israel, and he's been faced with a series of challenges with leadership and being a king. And he comes to a conclusion, understanding that he's seen warfare, and he's seen being a king, and he's seen the mentality or the mindset or the soul of how human beings operate, and then having a spirit that loved God but was always coming short. He said something. Praise for the Lord's mercies. So, man is a spirit, but we know that man is not perfect. And the imperfection in man is caused by his spirit being separated from God. So David says this, praise for the Lord's mercies. A psalm of David. And he begins with, bless the Lord, O my soul. The spirit and the soul are different. And they're different from the body. So the first thing, again, the soul is the seat of the mind, the emotion, and the will. Those three things are part of the human soul. David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. In other words, the soul and whatever else is in there. Remember, he's in the Old Testament. He's not a New Testament believer. So he does not fully aware of the spirit of man. So he says, there's something else in me and I don't know what it is. But bless the Lord, oh my soul, and whatever else is in there. I know something else is in there, but I can't put my finger on it. Because he didn't have revelation, because God's not giving soul spirit revelation to Old Testament people. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and everything that's within me. Bless his holy name. The word to bless means to speak well. To speak well of. Speak well of the Lord, oh my soul. Now, why do we need to speak well of God? If he's God, why does he need us to praise him? He's God. Why does he need praise from us? Why does he need worship from us? The guy got a big ego. He just needs to have people bow down to him, call him boss man or something like that. Why does God require us to praise? Why does God require us to speak well of him? What does he get out of it? What does God get out of our praise? What does God get out of our worship? The answer is nothing. God doesn't get anything from our worship. He doesn't get anything from our praise. Then why do we do it? It's for us. See, we have to worship God so that we don't worship other things. Because man was created for worship. But it wasn't for worship because God needs worship. It was worship because the design of man, the thing that makes man different, is the thing that man is created unique in the image of God. And because man is created unique in the image of God, he must be able to speak well of things because that's how God created the world. God blessed the world by speaking it into existence. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and it was void. And darkness hovered over the face of the deep. Of the spirit hovered over the face of the deep, excuse me. And God said, let there be light. And then God said this, and God said that. And for 5 days, God kept saying stuff. And 5 days, God kept speaking. God kept speaking. God kept saying. God kept declaring. For 5 days, God kept on speaking over the world. And then he made man in his own image. He didn't speak man. He made man in his own image. He spoke everything else. He spoke the fish. He spoke the animals. He spoke everything else. But man, he made with his own hands. You're not the same. You're different. So when we fast forward to David, bless the Lord, oh my soul, all that's within me, it's not so God gets an ego. It's not for God's benefit. It's for man's benefit because man has to learn that he has power in his mouth and he should speak things. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me, and forget not. Next verse. Forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name and forget not all his benefits. He has five benefits we're going to talk about. Now, we've been talking about healing. And I want you to recognize these five benefits because these five benefits are what declare your healing. And remember, healing starts in the spirit first and it flows through the body. But if there's a hindrance between spirit and body, then there's no way for healing to flow. Let's see what's going on. There we go. Amen. There we go. So I've had to come to understand that God's first concern is healing of my spirit. When I said yes to Jesus and I became a kingdom citizen through salvation in Jesus Christ, by faith, the grace of God, I became a kingdom citizen and my spirit was healed. It was healed because I was reunited, brought to unity with God. And when I came to unity with God, I'm healed of the sin debt that I owed. I'm healed of my flaws, my faults, and my errors. I'm healed of everything that manifests itself as sinfulness in my body. I'm totally healed of it. Does that mean I don't do things wrong? No. Why? Because I'm still dealing with the soul. I'm still renewing my mind. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 12, don't get conformed to the world. You've already been delivered that. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove what the good, perfect, acceptable will of God is. In other words, God has already saved you. His will is for you to move into a new level, but your soul is fighting against you. You've been renewed in the spirit of your mind. You've been totally transformed, but your soul is still trying to lean back on what it knows and what it's comfortable with. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Five benefits that we need to be able to declare and speak. Verse 3. Number 1, who forgives all your iniquities. Now, I want you to remember, this is even before Jesus comes. Can I have the monitors behind me down just a little bit? I think there's a little ring in those. He forgives all your iniquities. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, I'm totally forgiven. There's a man I knew who had a crack addiction. And he gave his life to the Lord. And he was in a class that I was teaching. And then he had an episode and he fell back. And I was buying some gas one day and he was at the gas station. And I saw him. And when he saw me, he ran. So I chased him. I chased him down, man. My first thought was he can't run that far. But that joker kept on running, man. He kept on running. But I caught him. And he said, "Leave me alone." I said, I'm not messing with you. What's wrong?" He said, "I don't want to talk to you." I said, "Man, I'm saying hi to you. I don't want you to see me like this. I don't want you to see me like this. I'm okay living like this. I'm struggling with it, but I'm okay with it. But I just don't want you to see me." Why? Because of condemnation. The condemnation was wearing him down. So he knew he got help at church, but he thought if he fell, that the church would reject him. So he hid himself. And see, that's what Adam did. When Adam and Eve recognized what they had done, they immediately hid themselves. And God called out to them. Now, God sees everything. God calls out and says, "Adam, where are you?" Not because he can't see Adam, because he sees Adam's trying to hide. See, the stuff in our life, it's not like it's hiding. How are you going to hide from an eternal God that sees everything? How are you going to hide from an eternal God who sees the beginning, the current, and the end? How are you going to hide? David came to Revelation. He said, "You know what? If I go into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're still there." Can't hide. So this man hid from me. And when I talked to him, he said, "I didn't want you to see me like this." And he got himself together eventually. And he came back to church. And we're friends today. And he's married and moved on with his life. But I say that to say this. God forgives all our iniquities. And the problem with people is they have a hard time believing that God forgives all iniquities when the church won't forgive tripping over your shoe. If we can't release things, knowing that God forgave me, if I can't release you, it's because I'm still dwelling on the wound and not dwelling on the forgiveness that God has. In other words, I haven't said, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I thank you, Lord, that you forgive all my iniquities." Jesus raises from the dead. Raises from the dead. Oh my, a man has risen from the dead. His disciples, 11 of them, sitting around one day. Matter of fact, it's 10 in this particular case. 10 of them sitting around together trying to figure out what we're going to do now that Jesus is dead. Jesus shows up on the scene. They are totally shocked when they see him. He said he was going to rise, and here he is. Now, in that moment, have you ever been in a moment where you surprise somebody and you already ready to know what you're going to say when you surprise them? Happy birthday, surprise, whatever. You already know what you're going to say. Because you're the one doing the surprising. The speechless person is the one who's surprised. But the one who surprises somebody, they know what they're getting ready to say. And Jesus, in the moment, having surprised them, knowing exactly what he's going to say, he says, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." And then he has the nerve to say, "Whoever sins, you forgive. I'll forgive." He gave them the Holy Spirit, which we know is empowerment. And when he's empowered them, he gives them the pinnacle of what they need to know. If you forgive, I'll forgive. Why? That's what God does. God forgives all iniquity. All iniquity. Tell your neighbor, say, God forgives all iniquity. Turn your other neighbor and say, yeah, even that one. Are there any forgiven people in the room today? Praise the Lord. I'm so glad I'm forgiven. I was at work one day and the security guard said, why are you always smiling? I said, because I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Man, the joy of the Lord is my strength because I know I'm forgiven. Yeah, ask my wife. I live under very little condemnation. And the little bit I got, I'm trying to weed it out. I'm working it out. I'm getting it out of me. Why? Because I'm just going to bless the Lord. Amen. No condemnation. There is therefore, Romans chapter 8, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who don't walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Because the law of the Spirit and life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the laws of sin and death. I'm forgiven of all iniquity. It's a benefit. Tell your neighbor, say your mistakes are forgiven. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. Interesting thing here in the sequence of how he says this. He forgives all of your iniquities, and then in the same sentence, who heals all your diseases. See, condemnation and guilt will ride in the soul of a human because they trigger by memories. Because remember, your soul is where your mind, your imagination, and your will sit. And because your soul houses your mind, your memories are there. And so your memories are residing in there, and that's why you have to be conscious of blessing the Lord with your soul, because if you don't bless the Lord, your memories will connect with your imagination and they will draw your future based on your past. I'm going to say it again. If you don't bless the Lord, then your memories, which live in your mind, will connect with your imagination and author your future based on your past. Because your imagination is given to you as your internal chalkboard, your internal design center, where you can go and you can make stuff up without living it in the world. So you can imagine something and think of what it would look like if I did it, and then you can then execute based on what you have formed in your imagination. The problem is when condemnation gets into the imagination, everything you build is condemned. Can you imagine? Listen to these words. I want you to imagine this. You were given a grant to build an apartment building. And so you have this money set aside to build this apartment, but you're given this ability to build it. And you think about, oh, I want it to be like this and this, and it's going to house this many families. And you get all these good intentions on this apartment you're getting ready to build. And so then you set out and you start building the building. And when you knock in the last nail, the inspector comes and says, it's condemned. Why? Because you build it with rusty old dirty pipes. Because you used it with old used sheetrock from back in 75 when there was all kinds of crazy stuff in it. Because you brought all the stuff from the old in the past into the new, and you built something that's already condemned as soon as you finish building it. That's what happens when you let your past author your future. That's what happens when you live under condemnation and you let your soul get filled with condemnation. Every time you go to produce something new, you keep producing the old because you're building it on the old stuff. And because you already know that's what it's going to look like, before you even get there, you already said, it's condemned. It's condemned. You know you're carrying that old stuff with you. Or worse, you're afraid to move because you already know it's condemned. So how are we going to walk into healing if we're still carrying the condemnation? How are we going to move into the new season when we're carrying the old stuff with us? When God took the children of Israel out of Egypt, he took them out and he's got a promise of a new land. He sends spies into the land. Give me the best and the brightest from each of the 12 tribes. They go out into the land and they come back and they say, the land is just what God said. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. And they brought back clusters of grapes. The two men had to carry on a stick to bring them the fruit of the land. And they all agreed it was just what God said. But then on the edge of the promised land, 400 years of slavery started speaking to them. The people over there are giants. We can't fight with those people. We're not warriors. We've been slaves. We can't do it. And so 10 of the 12 say we can't go. Two of them say God's with us, so we're going to go. Who cares if we've been slaves? Who cares? God made us a promise and we're going to walk into the promise. And this is what it said. The voices of the 10 caused a million people to cry all night long. Why did Moses bring us out here to kill us? Because the condemnation of slavery was carried forward into the promise. God wants us to receive forgiveness so we can receive healing and move forward. Verse 4. Tell your neighbor, I feel joy coming. Who redeems your life from destruction. Tell your neighbor, I'm indestructible. I'm going to make y'all talk to each other today. I'm going to make you talk to each other today. I'm going to make you say this out of your mouth. I'm indestructible. Tell your other neighbor, say, I'm indestructible. God redeemed your life from destruction. Are there any redeemed people in the house today? Yeah. Redeem your life from destruction. I was about 19 years old and I came home one day and my neighbor told me somebody was looking for me. Who was it? It was this guy. I don't know who it was. I didn't run. I didn't chase him. Chase that other guy, but I didn't chase this dude. So it turns out it was an investigator looking for me. So I had done something that wasn't cool. By the government standards, anyway. And so somebody was looking for me. and they left a business card. And so I got the card, and I said, I'm not calling this number. I am not calling this guy. Telling him about my business. He shows up again. So I finally call, and the call is followed by a letter saying, you know, cease and desist, da-da-da-da-da-da. So I think, okay, what am I going to do? Because it got all the penalty and all the threats at the bottom. I think, yeah. So I called my dad. I said, Dad, I was doing this and that, and this is what happened. He said, son, this is what you got to do. And my father gave me a solution. And I thought, the solution sounds like it's going to get me into more trouble. But I didn't know God. So I was confused. I didn't know what to do. And I'm an atheist at the time, so I refused to pray. I ain't finna pray. No way. I'm on my own out here. In my ignorance, because God knows all things, he redeemed me from a destruction. God covered me even in my ignorance. He covered me. And then when I did give my life to the Lord, I saw what could have happened, and I realized I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. See, you're being protected from things even when you don't realize you're being protected. Even in ignorance, you're moving along. God has already seen your end, and he's already come in and made a hedge around you. And even if it looks like you have gone to the bottom, I guarantee you, you did not hit the bottom. Because God's grace was sufficient for you and held you up. Even when you think you were low, God held you up. Because that's what kind of God he is. He redeems your life from destruction. He redeems our lives from destruction. The problem is we can't separate death from destruction. And we think if somebody dies, that means they're destroyed. No, that's not what it means. It means your body's dead. Your body's done. That doesn't mean your spirit's done. Your spirit is renewed and redeemed by faith in Jesus Christ, no matter what your body does. So he redeems your life. Jesus said, I have come that they might have and that more abundantly. He said, I came to, he didn't say, look, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, that God gives a mercy and a kindness toward us even when it's not deserved. That's why I chase the guy, because I know the kindness of God. I experienced the kindness of God. Because I was the kind of person, before I gave my life to the Lord, who stood and looked to the sky and say, you don't exist. So for an atheist to receive Christ and salvation, you know what? I have gratitude. I have gratitude that in the foolishness of my life, I didn't die in this body without knowing who he was, because I could have died. So we got the news yesterday concerning Rebecca. So Rebecca was involved in an accident, right? So we talked about that a little bit earlier. No scratch. But yesterday, we also had to go to a funeral of someone almost the same age. So, God's loving kindness and his tender mercies are on us. Because we all know people who haven't lived as long as we have. We all know people who haven't been blessed the way we've been blessed. We all know people who are in struggles or in challenges or other things, And the loving kindness of God, even in the struggle, is there. See, God's loving kindness was on me when I didn't even say he existed. His loving kindness was already on my life. His loving kindness was already there for me because he's looked ahead and he's made a provision because that's who he is. Next verse. Who satisfies your mouth with good things? How many of y'all ever gotten involved in gossip? You hear something? Yes, I did. You hear something? And the Bible says gossip is like tasty trifles. It goes in, but when it's inside, it's rotten. So gossip feels good when you talk. Oh, man, you know what happened? Are you serious? Oh, man. Oh. We get into all the discussion. Now, men and women gossip different. Okay? I'm going to make this clear because somebody say men don't gossip. That's a lie. Men gossip. Men gossip. They just do it different. See, women gossip and it's one level. And actually, I don't even say like I know women gossip because I ain't a woman. I don't know how y'all gossip, but I just know it happens. But man gossip is different. And when men, we gossip on hardness, you know. Man, you know what that brother did? Oh, man. Gossip will fill your mouth. But God said, I'm going to fill your mouth with something good. I'm going to fill your mouth with something good so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. He fills your mouth with good things. Now, what good things is he going to fill your mouth with? Go back to verse 1. What's he going to fill your mouth with? Blessing. Instead of gossip, bless. He's going to fill your mouth with blessing so you can pour out a blessing on other people. This is what God told Abraham. He said, Abraham, I'm calling you. Get out of your father's house. Go to a place I'm going to show you. He said, I'm going to bless you and make your name great. I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. In other words, I'm going to fill your mouth with good things, Abraham, and you're going to bless people. So when Abraham meets Melchizedek, he blesses Melchizedek with his words and with a tithe. Why? Because he got the power to do it. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm a blesser. I bless people. Because my mouth is filled with good blessing from God. So when I see evil, I don't condemn it. I bless it. Not the act, but the person. So that I can bring the life of God into that situation. Now, that does not mean when you see something wrong that you say, oh, that's good. No, if it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And it's okay to say it's wrong. But you don't say it wrong in condemnation. You got to say it and bless the individual. I remember this lady told me I was a dirty sinner one time. She said, you're just a dirty sinner. I said, and? And the lady asked me, she said, now you should go to church tomorrow. I said, no, I'm not going to church. I said, I'm going to tell you why I'm not going to church. I said, because I'm going to go to a party on Saturday night and all the church people are going to be at the party with me. And they're going to get up on Sunday morning and they're going to be sleepy. And I'm going to be in my bed sleeping like a log. But she was speaking no life to me. She just let me know what a dirty sinner I was without giving me any form of an answer besides coming to church. You can be a dirty sinner and come to church. I knew dirty sinners who had fishing poles at church. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just don't worry about it. Woo, Lord. He fills my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. To have your mouth filled with good things, do you know that it will preserve you? You know, if you can let God speak good things through you, that it will preserve you. I was looking at the mayor last night and he was talking, and I know it's some stuff he's been through, and I was listening to that man talk. And he said, yeah, I just turned 71 years old. And the lady sitting next to me said, that man is 71 years old? I said, yes, he is. She said, he doesn't look like he's 71. And you know what they always say? They say that the and being in office makes you age. Don't have to. It don't have to. Because if you fill your mouth with good things, as the Lord says here, your youth will be renewed like the eagle. We worship, we praise, not for God's benefit, but for ours. We worship for our benefit. When you worship and you really worship, not just singing to sing, when you worship, you can't tell me you don't feel good when you get done. When you worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and you know you just, Lord, I thank you. You can't tell me you don't feel lighter and better. Why? Because that's what happens. It's not for God, it's for you. When you worship the Lord, when you can drop everything else and you can bless the Lord, oh, my soul, everything was in me. Lord, I bless your holy name. I forget not all your benefits. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. Man, you have crowned me with loving kindness and tender mercy. You get your mind set on all them tender mercies pouring out from God. Lord, I thank you. Lord, you have forgiven my every iniquity. Lord, I am not no condemnation in me whatsoever. Somebody tried to put me in condemnation one time. More than once, but one particular one I'm thinking of. And this person told me something, and they tried to indebt me to them. They told me something and tried to get me indebted. I thought to myself, wait a minute. No. No. And I thought to myself, and the Holy Spirit said, don't argue. And I said, and the peace of God came on me. And I let them talk about what they was trying to get me into condemnation to. And it's like somebody delivered the wrong mail to your house. You standing on your porch when the mailman comes, and he's trying to give you the envelope. He said, that ain't mine. No, it's take it next door. I'm not receiving this package. And like I said, when I said no, the peace of God came on me. That's why even I tell our leaders here, you don't live under condemnation to do stuff for the church. Oh, people aren't going to do anything if you don't put them under condemnation. Guess what? Anybody who's doing it under condemnation, I don't want you doing it because it's going to stank when you get done. Don't do it. Don't do it. If you can't do it out of love, let it alone. Not love for me, love for God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it as unto the Lord. If you can do it unto the Lord and you can give God your best, then give it. If you can't, keep it. Last thing I'm going to tell you. I had a kid that played basketball for me. And very talented kid. Very talented kid. He was in ninth grade. This kid was off the charts. But he was playing under obligation. Because one of his parents was trying to make him be something. And he had all the talent in the world. I mean, the first game we played, he was playing center for us, tipped the ball to another player. He did like this and started running from half court. The other kid threw it up in the air. I mean, he's in ninth grade. Alley-oop dunk almost tore the whole wall down. This kid was off the chart. But he could never, at a certain point, he couldn't really get it together because it wasn't him. He had talent, but that's not what was here. So he's complying and he's even performing, but it's not here. So he couldn't really bless the game because it wasn't in his heart. So the message today, very simple. Bless the Lord, O your soul. Whatever you can do unto the Lord, do it with all your might. Do it knowing that God has redeemed your life, that you don't have to live under condemnation, and your pastors are not going to hold you in condemnation. Like I was saying, I tell our leaders all the time, you got priorities in your life. Number one is God. God's your first priority. Your second priority is your family. Number two, because if you want to serve God and your family falls apart, you won't be serving God for long. We witnessed, as young believers, young leaders coming up, we witnessed a whole chain reaction of people that were putting the church first, and marriage after marriage dominoed and fell because the priorities were off. Your first mission field is your household. Your third priority is your job. Because if you don't work, you don't eat. And the Bible told me, if a man don't work, don't feed him. Now, of course, we're going to feed the hungry, the homeless, that don't have resources and don't have a place to work. But if a capable, able individual who won't work, then won't feed you. That's what I'm told as a leader. That's what I'm supposed to do. Not feed someone who won't do what they're supposed to do. Have compassion on those who don't have resource, but don't help those that really don't need help. Fourth priority. Then we come to the church and we serve together. And we worship God in spirit and truth, and we offer our gifts one to another, and we bless the Lord. And we're honest and we communicate about that. Because we're here to bless. We're here to bless the Lord. We're here to give God praise. We're here to exalt the name of the Lord. And if we bless the Lord in our private time, then both in our household and at work and at church, it will trickle down into every environment as a blessing. Amen? Amen. Tell your neighbor, said, I'm here today to bless the Lord. And because I bless the Lord, I live under no condemnation. Because he forgives all my iniquities. And because he heals all my iniquities, he heals me. And because he heals me, my life is redeemed from destruction. And because my life is redeemed from destruction, I live and enjoy the loving kindness and tender mercies that God has put on me. And because of that, my mouth is filled with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. In Jesus' name. Amen, 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 hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we are renewed, redeemed, healed, and set free. We thank you that we live under no condemnation because our lives are in Christ Jesus. And we thank you that today is a day for blessing your name. We forget not all of your benefits. And we thank you that today your word will strike the hearts of all and keep us in joy. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.